been, all of us have been born into a world of interesting experiences. We've been born into a world of interesting conclusions, and these conclusions have made us either positive or negative. Some of us have been fortunate enough to have parents or others who have helped us to develop our talents. Some of us have had mothers who sat on our back and said, practice the piano, practice the piano. Every day after school, practice the piano, practice the piano, practice the piano. And we hated our mother for it. We hated her. We thought she was the meanest person in the world requiring us to practice the piano. But as years went by and our ability to play the piano increased, we stopped hating her, but we never really appreciated it because it was something that someone else forced us to do. And then comes the day when we feel, wow, I can play the piano. I can play very well. I can play by ear. And I can play by note. I'm wonderful. And we never do say, thank you, Mom, you know, for believing in me and persisting in me to follow whatever it is that I have followed. We never think of saying that. We never think of saying, thank you. But it doesn't matter. Mother doesn't need thank you. She just listens to us play and says, wow, they're wonderful. And we go on like that for years and years and years. And every night after school, we have to practice. And occasionally we'll even practice when we don't have to practice because we're beginning to like it. We're beginning to realize that it's something pretty wonderful. Bill Harris, in his Holosync activity, is a very brilliant man. And he has worked years and years and years in developing the Holosync program. He has found the key from the federal government with their training program that they had in training the mind, training the brain, and he thought that was very good. And then he listened within, and he heard the genius say to him, put it to music. You can select music to bring forth this idea in the minds of yourself and others. Of course, first he wanted to do it for himself, which is wise. And he spent hours every day listening to his Holosync music. He spent hours every day listening to his program. And he burned himself out a number of times. You know what it means to burn yourself out? He got tired of it. And he wanted to stop doing it. But he persisted because he knew he had something good. He was his own persistence. And he followed it, and he followed it, and he followed it. And again he burned himself out. And again he burned himself out. But he followed it because he believed in his program. Now, in a very short time, he accomplished great and wonderful things because he listened to his music quite diligently and quite regularly and quite positively. Now, as he developed the program for humanity, he realized that humanity burns out quite easily. And he did not want mankind to burn out in using his program, so he fed it to them a little at a time. A wise mother who believes she has a prodigy on her hand allows the prodigy to play the piano as often as he wants to. And he sits at the piano sometimes morning to night, playing, learning, practicing, doing it. He is a master of it, but he is dedicated to it because his soul is speaking to him and saying, do it, do it, do it. Now, you and I, we have to be careful we don't burn ourselves out. We have the opportunity of taking this project of the Holosync that Bill Harris has offered and put it to work. And if we listen to it more than 1 hour a day, we will burn ourselves out if we are a normal, average person. If you are a normal, average person, you can handle only so much practicing on the piano each day. You understand me? A very simple and a very profound yet clear idea. Now, if you are a dedicated person for your spiritual path, and right now we have no one here like that, you could be. You could be. If you are a dedicated person for your spiritual path, the first thing you would do would be to find a sharer or a teacher to work with you, and you would find a mother. You'd find a mother who says, practice, dear, practice, dear. Practice the piano before you go out and play. Practice the piano before you go and do this or that. Practice the piano. Mother, I hate it, I hate it, you know. But the thing is, we don't have a mother anymore. Because we're not children, we're not at home. Even our two youngsters here, they're not at home. They're not children. They are dedicated spiritual souls. Probably far more than we ever were or ever will be. Amazing as they are. Now, are you ready to walk your spiritual path? Seriously. You come to a seminar, and then at the seminar you sit here so pompous. Yes, I know all this. I've been here. I've done that before. Oh, this is nothing new to me. You know, you all say that. You all say that. Because you've been to other seminars too. And some of them were far better than this. But you're here. You're here now to dedicate yourself to this 1 week of total immersion into the idea of your spiritual reality. You could say you're God because you're ready. Now, are you ready to be a monk and come here and spend 24 hours a day on your spiritual path? And you know, please don't misunderstand me. You don't need to spend 24 hours a day on your spiritual path. If you can spend 1 minute on your spiritual path with absolute dedication, you got it made. You're done. You're cooked. You're finished. You are illumined. You are living in that spiritual awareness, that spiritual consciousness, and you don't need me or anybody else to work with you. But are you ready to give that total 1 minute to your spiritual awareness? Ellen, you can understand why I say dogs, cats, fish, and things like that should not be present during the 3-hour meditation. If you have them present, they take your attention away. They take your attention away. And when they're loving, they're wonderful, but they take your attention away. And when they take your attention away, you're not giving your attention to your spiritual path. You're being a mother, putting your children to bed, covering them with a blanket, taking care of them, you know? And what does your mother do? Your mother says, sweetheart, sit down at the piano now and play. Practice your piano. I want to hear you practice the piano. I want to hear the beautiful notes coming from there. Okay. Are you ready for that 1 minute? You see, Bill Harris is past that 1 minute. He has accomplished that for himself. And his friends who worked with him have accomplished it. And when Bill Harris gives a seminar, which he does, he has people with him for 5 days or however long. And 5 or 6 times during the day, he has them hearing Holosync music. Holosync music to sort of make the left and right hemispheres of the brain a harmonious one. Removing that barrier between the two brains so that it's a free and a wonderful open self. You see, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And that's what we're all about this week. And as Dorothea was saying, but we're only supposed to listen to it once a day. If we listen to it more than that, it's not good, Bill Harris said. And that's right. you are under a controlled situation here, at least I would like to think you are, and under this controlled situation, you follow directions, and you do exactly as I tell you to do, and no judgment is saying, oh, Herb's full of shit, you know, Herb should take his beans and go someplace else. And if that's what you want to say, you shouldn't be here. But if you're here, and if you've dedicated yourself coming from all corners of the world, and you want to gain the benefit that's here, then just totally immerse yourself in this program as I define it to you. Whether you had it before or not, you are not the person who had it before. You are not the person who attended somebody else's seminar. You're a new person here because you've got all that information you got from other places, and now you have it here. Do you understand? You're not the same person you were when you first heard these teachings of I am God or whatever it is that you might have heard from people that you've gone to listen to and study under. That's beautiful. And if you really want your spiritual path, you see, you're all liars. You're all terrible liars. Because I say to you, are you ready for spiritual illumination where you don't remember the past? Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. And the first thing you do is run back home to your husbands and your wives and your children and your family. And that's the first thing in your mind. Now, while you're here, I want you to be naked. I want you to be barren of the past. There is no past. There is no future. There's only the now. And if you're going to dress yourself in your family, your associations, your past life, your past education, you know, if you're going to dress yourself in all of those things, you're not going to be here. You're not going to be here in the now and have the glorious experience that I have designed for you. I'm your mama right now. Practice the piano, you know. And are you ready to do it with diligence and dedication and love? Or are you going to say, I am a monk here, and I'm now going to attend this seminar, and I'm going to be a participant in the seminar, and I don't want to run the monastery, and I don't want to do these things because I'm a monk here. And you can't do that, Ellen. You got to do whatever you got to do, you see? But you do it, and you don't bind yourself to it. You don't say that is where I am. I'm often amused at the monks at the monastery here. They feel that it's on office time that they should make their meals. Well, how many of you housewives and you fathers and mothers at home consider it during your working hours that you're going to make the meals and wash the dishes and do the laundry and clean the house? That's on your time. That's on your time, on your special time. When you're on your work time, you're not going to wash the dishes. And you're not going to clean the house when you're on your job. You understand? When you're working at your employment, you're not going to do your homework. That's what you do when you come home. Now, you're on your job right here. And we're giving you, so to speak, your 8 hours a day of spiritual training. But you still have how many hours? 16 hours of the day left? 3/8 to 24. You still have 16 hours there. Say you want to get 8 hours of sleep, fine. You still got 8 hours of screwing around, of doing the things that are necessary, like making meals and taking care of stuff. You understand? But if you're going to think that that's got to be done during your training time or whatever, you're mistaken. When you sit at that piano and you practice, give it your total dedication. When you're sitting in your spiritual program, give it your total dedication. You cannot have the dogs. You cannot have the cats, the fish. You cannot have anything. And then during the pauses or during the intermissions, where we have lots of things planned for you too, you go up and you refill the bottle of water. You go and do these various things. You see? These are things that are very important for us to consider. All right, back to Bill Harris. Bill Harris, under the controlled situation of the seminar, gives his people a lot of the Holosync music, a lot of it, because he's showing off his program and he's letting them see the magic that takes place during it. Well, here you have the opportunity of listening to your HoloSync music at the time I suggest to you, merely to see how much you like it and to see if you want the program. And there are a lot of other things I'd like to give you too, except that you have such a strange attitude about yourself that you're here for vacation, or you're here for holiday, you're here for something else, and that's not so. You're here to be driven by me along your spiritual path. Come on now, come on now. Pay attention, do the lesson, do the program. And what is the most important program for you to do, and when you're with other people? It's to be unconditionally loving. Unconditionally loving. And if you are not unconditionally loving, that means you're not unconditionally loving to yourself. First, it's yourself. And when you are unconditionally loving to yourself, you're unconditionally loving to everybody. You think everybody is just wonderful, fantastic, because that's how you bring them forth in your consciousness. So, think on these things. Why can you say you're God? Because you have the ability to make choices. You have the ability to reach into your inner level of awareness and draw forth the magic that you are. And I am here not to tell you something new, but I'm here to show you how to draw forth that magic by training yourself at the piano, you know. Practice, 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 you know. It's a pain in the butt. But it's something that you do because you want the results. Now, all of you think nothing of getting up in the morning, going to the bathroom, taking a shower, putting on your cosmetics if you wear them, putting on your face creams and your body creams and your this and that. Well, not instead of doing those things, but with the same love, dedication, and habit of doing it, say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my, I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. Oh, I feel wonderful. I feel fantastic. I feel glorious. You know? Do you say that to yourself? Do you give yourself the energy massage once a day at least? Where you take your hand and gently move it over your naked body, just about a 1/16 of an inch away from your body. Don't touch yourself. Not that you can't, but it's not part of the game. And the energy flowing between your hand and your body and your body and your hand, what you're doing is you're saying, body, I love you. Feet, I love you. Eyes, I love you. Head, I love you. And then your body, which has been given certain premises upon which it works, will say, hey, they like me here. I'm going to be a healthy body. I'm going to be a wonderful body. I like being here. This morning, as I was sitting meditating before I came here, Rex came over to me, and he rolled on his back so that his tummy could be reached by my hand, which was hanging over the edge of the chair. And I touched his tummy, and and he just loved it so, you know. And of course, I loved it, having him love it. And I touched him under his armpits, you know, and I touched the bottom of his feet and gently massaged them. And he just says, ah, I'm in paradise. Well, now, your own body will say that to you too when you give it a little bit of love like that. I mean, if you pet your dog or your cat or your fish or whatever and you give it love and you see how it responds to the love, your body does too. And your body is waiting. Your body is the vehicle that your God presence is using on this relative level. Love it. Love it. And I will protest and guarantee you at the same time, it's not what goes into your body, but what comes out of it that makes the difference. What mental attitudes you have, what thoughts you have, what words you speak. You can eat trash, and you will live in a healthy, vital body. And you can eat good stuff, and you'll live in a trashy body. Because if you have a bad mental attitude, everything you eat will turn to poison. You know? And that's true. You can eat the most beautiful foods, like Katerina prepared for us last night. You can eat the most beautiful foods that ever existed. And if you have a bad mental attitude, that food is pure poison. And I am not kidding you. Scientists have shown this to be true in their experiments because they wanted to find out why people having a good diet are having bad bodies. And they have bad bodies because they turned the food into poison. If you come to the table at mealtime with a frown on your face and a hurt in your heart, the food's not going to go down. The food is going to turn into poison. It'll just turn into bad stuff. And you don't want that. Now, this food is healthy for my body and filled with love. That's what we say, you know? And when we say that, what are we saying? We are saying that we are the creator of our world. And every thought we think is a beautiful, loving thought. And every morsel of food that we eat is blessed by us to be glorious. I told you the story about the two women in India, in two different towns. One woman had a cup of rice, and she and her little girl ate the rice, and she said to her sweetheart, "This is all we have. There is no more now. Soon we will be gone." And the woman in the other town, she had a cup of rice. She too was in poverty. And she said to her daughter, "There's more where this came from, but let's eat it carefully and let's make it go until the next one comes." And it came. And they lived. And they live healthy, happy, harmonious beings. It's not the amount, it's not what you do, but you see, your thoughts. Our thoughts are the master of our world and of our being. And if we ever go around with a frown on our face or a hurt in our heart or self-righteousness, oh, that's a real dog. We go around with self-righteousness that we feel we're superior to other people and we deserve to have this and that. We're going to fail. Maybe not right at this instant, but it will come very quickly because we will destroy ourselves. And as God, you can destroy yourself, or you can make yourself into the allness that you are. Because you see, you can continue shutting off the glands in your body so that they don't perform for you. You can continue filtering out of your brain all that your mind has to give you, and then you'll be limited. But that's your choice if you wish. Now, why can you say you're God? You can say you're God because that's all there is, and that's all you are. So let's think on that for just a little while now, why we can say we're God.